Welcome to the Awakening to Abundance podcast. I'm your host, Athena. This podcast is more than a podcast. It's a transformative journey designed to help you awaken to your abundance, for you to discover what living the fullness of life means to you. As always, we're jumping right in with today's episode. Christopher, thank you for being on the podcast today. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners and introduce a little bit about what you do? Because as you know, the podcast is really about aligning to your higher self, to your inner being, to your higher consciousness, whatever you want to call it. And we are interviewing practitioners who help us come back home to ourselves. So you are a perfect person for that. So I would love for you to tell us everything.
Well, thank you, Athena, for having me on your beautiful podcast, Awakening into Abundance. I say yes to that. So I feel honored to be here. And yeah, I guess I'll just start. I'm Dr. Christopher Powell. I traditionally trained almost 20 years ago as a doctor of chiropractic and Kundalini yoga teacher. So I've delved into the science, art, philosophy of how to entrain the nervous system or to optimize our God-given innate intelligence so that we can tap into more of who we are, in essence. I'm thinking of like a caterpillar or an oak seed, but has everything it needs to express into a tree or into a butterfly. Mm. And we've kind of been told that we're ruled by our genes or focus on exterior things to help us. And I'm not judging that. We can all use things to make our lives better. But for me, my passion is to help, like you said, return us back to ourselves and to find that inner strength, that inner resources, the yogic superpowers, so that we can thrive in this world and not just survive.
Okay, so you started as a chiropractor and then you got into Kundalini yoga. Was there a progression for that?
Well, let's see here. As I was finishing my chiropractic training here in California, going through board exams and in clinic, one of the teachers at the chiropractic college was a Kundalini yoga teacher, a master. And so during that stressful period of finishing your exams and going through the medical boards and whatnot, I was walking down the hall and this one teacher, this one mantra, this one kriya, as I was walking by the room, just stopped me in my tracks. And the teacher was basically in this asana or in this posture, and almost at the top of his lungs was saying, "Lol." I'm like, what? I didn't understand yoga in that way before. I've known the westernized version of yoga where we focus on the physical postures of it, but that vibration, the sound, the frequency stopped me in my tracks. So during the final exams, I decided to get trained in Kundalini yoga, and I thought it was a perfect addition as a chiropractor to even go further back and to learn through the Vedic scriptures and yogic medicine how the spine, the nervous system, the mind, body, and spirit all works together. So that was 20 years ago when I became a chiropractor, but I think it all started back in 1987 for me. And there was a few things. My mom was she was a nurse. She was a Reiki master, healing touch for animals. Mm. She worked as a hospice nurse and then went into real estate. But at that time, she was going through kind of her spiritual awakening. And for me as well, I started having out-of-body experiences kind of spontaneous, where I'd lay down to rest or something, and then I'd find myself outside of my body. And 1987 is a really powerful year. It's in the summer, it's been called the harmonic convergence, which is also been called like the spiritual Woodstock, where there was this huge wave of star seeds or energy or plasma to activate many people, kind of helped this great change of awakening. And so right after I started having these out-of-body spontaneous experiences, within a month or two, I had a near-death experience. And that really kind of changed my perspective, because the main thing that happened when I was going through the Bardos, or the in-between, where I physically was choosing to stay on this earth or to do it over again, it was really challenging as like the black sheep, or didn't feel like it fit in. And it was just so much turmoil and chaos in my life. But the gift was this near-death experience. I heard my ancestors tell me, like, I remember hearing, like, above and beyond the stars, the cosmos, saying, turn around, you're going the wrong way. Like, I heard, it was like, it stopped me, just like the Kundalini yoga teacher who was like, yee-la, and it stopped me in tracks. And I'm writing a book about this now, the whole experience, but I had to make a choice then to either embody more of my innate wisdom, intelligence, my yogic superpowers in a sense, or leave the planet back again. But I decided in that moment during the harmonic convergence to say, okay, this is what I'm here to do. And at that time, I didn't necessarily know. I just knew it had to be a more humanitarian path. So my heart stopped. I came back and immediately was almost like a different person. I joined the Coast Guard, and the reason why is because it was a humanitarian service. I thought search and rescue, how can I do something different to get out in the world and empower myself and motivate myself to make that change that I heard my ancestors say, you're going the wrong way. So I did that for 5.5 years. Drug interdiction work, environmental protection, search and rescue, air and sea. And that gave me some kind of a broader perspective on how I could fine-tune my gifts. Then I went back to college after 5.5 years to lay the foundation for eventually become a chiropractor, biology degree in environmental studies. And then from there, I started diving back into healthcare. I went back to school to train as an EMT. I was volunteering in the Oakland Highland Community Hospital. And I just saw firsthand the lack of just basic necessities and care. It's great for emergencies, just to get people back out there and continue that survival mode. How can I affect people on a deeper level, mentally, emotionally, as well as physically and energetically? So that steered me towards chiropractic school, because I got adjusted myself when I was having some physical issues. And I realized, wow, if I can adjust my nervous system or get my nervous system adjusted, and I could have these ailments start to improve and to be done by hand in a holistic, organic way, then that's the way I'll at least start. So that's what led me into chiropractic school and become a yogi, teach yogic sciences and philosophy and art. And even when I started chiropractic school, I was leaning towards the energetic perspectives of chiropractic, because chiropractic over time has kind of been biomechanical focused to not only fit in with modern medicine, but a lot of the original intentions of this broad range of holistic care, chiropractic care, has been kind of watered down for various reasons. The medical models, there's a certain box you have to follow, otherwise you're pushed to the side. It's happened with holistic medicine, Chinese medicine. So I chose to focus more on a technique out of school called network spinal analysis, which is a blend of many different powerful, lighter touch somatic techniques that work along the spine and find gateways or areas in the vertebrae that are well connected, that have that connection to, you could say, source or a deeper aspect of our gifts or healing, and to put focus and adjustments in those areas. So focusing and amplifying the areas that are well connected or that are working, instead of just focusing on what was out of alignment or manipulating or adjusting something, a bone that's out of place. And there's nothing wrong with that at all, because we all need those physical adjustments. But I wanted to incorporate the blueprints, the energy, the mental, emotional aspects too, and not forget about those. And then how can I bridge those to the physical? And I think I picked that up during my near-death experience on like how to fine-tune or focus in on the harmonics, how to create coherence in the nervous system when it's in chaos. Fast forward to today, I've kind of redefined my gifts, and I even intuitively started calling myself a cosmosonic chiropractor, which just means to align the cosmos or the greater aspects of us using therapeutic frequency, sound, and vibrational medicine, so to speak. I incorporate astrology into my teachings, into my classes, and into my sessions, so that we can align the greater aspects, call it the cosmos, to our nervous system. Because I really believe in above, down, inside, out, or the universe being a exterior reflection of what's going on inside of us. The you that's inverse is the universe. And that was really the original intention of chiropractic. The original teacher said to align the spiritual to the physical. The teachings of Rudolf Steiner, I went to Waldorf school as a child, and the teachings of Rudolf Steiner, he's got some incredible teachings about the initiation with the light body, the spiritual, and the physical.
Okay, that's actually a great place to just pause real quick and actually backtrack a little bit to the 1987 portal that you were talking about and some of the out-of-body experiences that you were having. And so is that all connected? Before that, were you having any of those experiences?
Well, before the near-death experiences, I just started having out-of-body experiences. I didn't know what that was. It was astral projection, which is another term for it. But before that, I wasn't really spiritual. My mom was, and she was kind of like giving me these drops like, oh, maybe we should use herbs, or maybe I'll take you to the chiropractor. I didn't even remember going to the chiropractor as a kid until later, having a conversation when I became a chiropractor with my mother. And she would say, yeah, I used to take you. So it wasn't really in my realm, just on the periphery.
Okay. And so when you started having those experiences and then you had the near-death experience, just to clarify, those two weren't necessarily connected.
Right.
Okay.
I really think the near-death experience is what kind of launched me into this path. Because the path I was going was not in alignment with my soul. What I came in here to do, we have free will. So I kept choosing things that were leading me down the wrong path. So it was like a huge wake-up call during that harmonic convergence to say, look, this is the path. So it gave me that clarity to follow that. And that's where the gifts that I'm giving today really align with harmony, with creating coherence in the nervous system, with helping people to return to their center, the heart, the energetic center balance, where all things are birthed and are possible. Physics, the zero point field.
And so looking at what you do now and the process that got you there, you're not really practicing chiropractic in the boxed sense that you were talking about earlier. You're doing something completely different, right? So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, definitely different. Like I said, when I was in school, I was studying these techniques were also on the fringe, like network spinal analysis wasn't really taught in clinic because you had to do the basic 15 biomechanical type of adjustments. So I had to, outside of school, my postgraduate studies were in this type of chiropractic that still, it's, I call it the yoga of chiropractic because it really incorporates the mind, the mental, emotional, energetic aspects, the somatic aspects, the embodiment of the adjustment, so to speak. Even now, I'm fringing outside of chiropractic. So I don't, when people ask me, do you adjust? I don't. I'm not a chiropractor in that aspect where I'll, people come into my office and I'll adjust their spine. As a cosmosonic chiropractor, I'm helping people to entrain or synchronize their nervous system to greater coherence. So I call it an entrainment. The network chiropractors call it entrainment, which is a synchronization of the mind, heart, and body. So if you think about a group of women that get together on a retreat and their menstrual cycles all sync, they stay entrained to their field. Or if you have a bunch of clocks on the wall and they're swinging in different rhythms over time, they'll all sync or entrain to each other. So I started using really powerful therapeutic gongs in my sessions starting almost 20 years ago. So the first time during a yoga class and during the full moon on these celestial alignments when the moon was full and amplifies our internal water, so to speak. We all know that during a full moon, things can create an amplification of our emotions. Or my friends who are nurses that work in the ER say, oh my God, it's a full moon. It's going to be crazy tonight. And that's where the word lunatic comes from, luna, the moon. So I started using these really powerful ancient therapeutic instruments, the gong, to harmonize with our most, the oldest, most sacred instrument, our bodies, our spine, our nervous system. Our spine is the conduit of consciousness. Or you could say it's a receptor or a tuner, a radio tuner to the cosmos or to the greater aspects of us. Our nervous system is not just the spine. The nervous system continues out. The yogic scriptures talk about the 10 bodies beyond the physical body. The physical body is one, but there's 9 other bodies that continue and expand out until we get to the soul body. And quantum physics and science now has been able to measure that. You know, the heart field, heart math, Stanford for 20 years has been measuring this field that connects us all. Using the gong, for example, sound and vibration is another way to really amplify the part of our nervous system that knows how to thrive, parasympathetic, to rest and digest and restore. And in this crazy, chaotic world that's just moving so fast pace, and there's so much physical stress, chemical stress that we breathe in, that we drink, that we eat, mental, emotional stress, and it's kept our nervous system in this fight or flight mode where we have this tunnel vision or narrow focus. For me personally, I want to use stress in a way that can help amplify our nervous system, parasympathetic, so that we can tune into that holistic part of us, the innate intelligence, the healing abilities. Yeah. And then, of course, we use emergency medicine and other types of medicine, but not go to that first. Let's amplify our own internal medicine and then use these other modalities, of course, when needed. There's no judgment against any path. All paths eventually lead us back. But for me personally, that's what I feel my gifts are. And my passion is to help create coherence, not only in the nervous system, but then the other aspects of our lives as well. Because it just broadens our perspective. When our nervous system is reorganized to that field that has access to the soul body, to that wisdom, that it's right here. It's recognized. Science tells us, oh, you only use 10% of your brain, or there's all this junk DNA that we don't know what it's for. It's just junk in our body. No, I mean, we have the ability to access that junk DNA or the other 90% of our brain. And that's what yogis have been talking about, Chinese medicine, Eastern medicines, and chiropractic is the original chiropractor traveled the world, went to Japan and India, and really studied all these other ancient ways, even Native American, the shamanic cultures, and condensed that into a field that we know is chiropractic, to adjust the spine and the body so that we can heal, we can tune into our own innate healing power.
I love that, because in the work that I teach, obviously it's not just about our thoughts. It's about how we're feeling in our body and our emotions. And both of those things make up with our nervous system, our energetic signature, which is what you're talking about, our energy body, which is what you were saying, there are 9 or 10 selves, right? Can you talk a little bit more about how, when all of that is in resonance, when all of that is in coherence, how does it interact with the rest of the universe? Obviously, it opens us up naturally because we're more calm and we're more relaxed. But you mentioned a receiver, like your spine as a receiver. So if everything is coherent and your energy, your energetic signature is in coherence and aligned to a higher power, whatever you want to call it, what does that look like?
Yeah, and it's a great question. So I think about the nervous system as like a radio in a sense, and over time, whether it's physical stress or mental, emotional stress, chemical stress, we start to limit the amount of channels that we can tune into. So just think, we're tuning into one channel that has static. And so we're hearing this kind of static and the music's kind of coming through. That's how I feel like our nervous systems have become over time. And so as we reorganize and strengthen our nervous systems, we're opening up that radio, the different channels, so we can tune into, oh, let me listen to this music. Oh, let me tune into that channel. Oh, let me listen to that podcast. It's like how the internet has greatly expanded our ability to find wisdom. So if the internet is like an exterior reflection of the internet we have in here, it's the same thing. We have access to more channels of wisdom and information. So, for example, what I hear commonly is when people come out of a class or a session, not only do they feel more relaxed, but they'll sleep better. They'll start having dreams. The dream state is more amplified. They'll have synchronicity experiences where, like, oh, I was just thinking about my friend and they called. Those kind of things happen more frequently. So I feel like it's amplifying not only our nervous system, so it's more sensitive to the other 9 bodies, but then we have access to those psychic superpowers. When we focus towards the ajna, the 6th chakra, the area of insight that not only harmonizes both parts of our brain, the left and the right part of our brain, but then we have a greater access to tap into the artistic and intuitive and the feminine aspects, and not just the logical masculine aspects. I mean, we need both, right? If you want to create something in your world, you can't just say, okay, I want this. You got to have the feminine, bring the feminine qualities of the sense, the feeling, the deeper aspects of listening, so that you can align that goal that you have with how it feels. So you set up that frequency, you're setting up that harmonics, you're being coherent, you're creating a coherent field with the things that you wish to create.
To manifest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think when I'm manifesting or dropping into meditation and go into a state where I'm already in the place that I want to be and feeling it, and then that keeps me in the present. And of course, the past and ego and the patterns are going to pop up. They're always there. But that's just an aspect of when we amplify our nervous systems, we have a greater sense of feeling. One thing I like to say is that people come in and they're always like, oh, I want to feel better. Of course, we all want to feel better, right? But in order to feel better, we almost have to get to a better feeling state. when people come in or when I'm doing workshops, sometimes I'll mention, we're not here to heal. Let's just be here to feel. Let's just feel whatever it is that comes up to the surface. Because the nervous system will bring stuff up for us to be aware of first. We have to see it and embrace it. That's where we can make change. And people come in normally because they have pain. And for me, what I love is to, like, let's look for the message in the pain. Like, what is pain really trying to tell us? Pain is just to help us to stop and pay attention to what's happening. There's no judgment. It's not because we have pain, there's something wrong with us, or we're not on our path. No, pain is like an internal GPS system. It's like when you put your hand in the fire, we have to have pain so that we don't injure ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it's to pay attention and to slow things down, go inwardly, and to get some of that deeper wisdom and medicine and first without just trying to like ignore it. So for me, I say cherish pain and use it. And I'm not saying that you don't have to do something to get rid of like knee pain or something, but also let's look at the message first. So one of the aspects I love to do is called sacred body language translation. So I'll just give you a quick example. This seems fairly common. Someone will come and say, oh yeah, my knee hurts, or this one's my bad knee. This is one that's given me an issue, and how can I get rid of that? And for example, I'll just say, well, let's invite us to say, okay, this knee is not necessarily bad because it has pain. Just offer a different reflective. And that's not even a judgment. Don't even judge yourself for saying that's my bad knee. It's like, okay, my knee is just screaming at me, or it's calling out for attention. But if we're continuing to say this is my bad knee, everything we say, the feminine, is going to take everything literally, right? It's the subconscious speaking out loud, if this is my bad knee. So then it's going to say, okay, how can I create more of that experience?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of this loop. So how can we get out of that loop? Just by saying, okay, oh, wow, I've been calling this my bad knee. Okay, oops, how can I try something different? This is my knee. It just wants me to pay attention, maybe to stop something I've been doing, an old pattern, or sitting, driving for long periods of time, or maybe because my hip's out of alignment, or if my foot's out of alignment, and of course it's creating this tension in my knee. I want to look at the knee and say, okay, thank you for, I'm sorry I haven't been more loving in having a conversation with you. Let's start there first. And what is the knee represent? The knee is connection between two. It's flexible. It helps us to move forward. It's also in certain wisdom teachings, the knee represents stepping forward or forgiveness. How can I begin moving forward? And if it's on the left side, that's more of the feminine aspects. So I'll just speak to that as an energetic blueprint, or the mental emotional conversations we're having with it, before I'll just go in there and adjust the knee. Because if we're not looking at that, then we're looking at the foot or the hip as a this holistic way, then the knee is just going to come back or express itself in a different way. So I want to look at the blueprint and maybe change the blueprint before I do reconstruction on a building. You don't build a building without having a blueprint. So there's wisdom and medicine in the body. It's always telling us, that's saying, hey, let's look back at the knee. There's wisdom, there's medicine, there's information there. And the GPS is calling me to turn left, turn left, turn left, and you keep turning right. Let's come back to at least the pain as medicine.
And I love that this is the exact same thing with our emotions. So when you're doing your work with the gongs and sound, and people are having strong emotions that come up, that is just something also to take a look at non-judgmentally and say, okay, what is this strong feeling here to tell me? What do I need to adjust, whether it be an old habitual pattern or way of thinking about something, or honestly, just something that has brought it up, and being able to let it out of your body to move forward?
Yeah, you said it perfectly, to bring it up. And that could be raising the vibration. When you bring it up and you're aware of it, it does automatically raise the frequency. Because if it's locked down in our body, and to use an emotion like apathy, almost given up, doubt, apathy, it's a more dense or lower emotion. And lower not on the spectrum of good and bad, it's just more dense. So becoming aware of it and the emotion that may come up to the surface, the emotion that might come up to the surface may start to be like anger. And sometimes people think that's bad. Oh, I don't want to get angry. Ugh. But anger is a bit higher of a frequency than apathy. It gets us to move. And so anger coming up, that's beautiful. So feel that. And instead of not judging it as right or wrong or whatever story about anger, it's just to feel it as an energy in motion, emotion. And that can start moving things. And then under that, they might start being tears of sadness or all the other emotions that can be above that, until we get to a point where you're not judging anything that's coming up, you're being with it. I always say embrace the comfortable and uncomfortable. My Qigong teacher in New Mexico always says that, embrace the comfortable and the uncomfortable. And if you can't do that, be okay with even that. Don't judge that. And you start to get to this point of, you're getting closer to a point of neutrality where things can open up and expand, and you can tap into that wisdom and medicine and energy, tapping into those other 9 bodies beyond the physical body. The emotional Bhakti has so much wisdom and information, and it's all here. And that's what I love about even touching the spine in a certain spot. For example, I do a lot of work with the occiput, where the head sits on the neck. In Chinese medicine, they call this point where your neck meets your scalp, it's the celestial pillar. And then at the back body, it's everything we've pushed to the back of our mind or locked away in a closet because we don't want to see it, right? And we could just access some of this fight or flight fuel. I like to call it fuel. Instead of getting rid of it, how do we tap into that fuel so that we can use it and direct that fuel into other areas of our body that may be depleted, like our kidneys? They hold the chi, they hold the energy. They represent partnership between the masculine and feminine, how we partner with each other in relationship, but how we partner with ourselves. So we could just make these beautiful light touch contacts in the celestial pillar in the back of the head. In chiropractic, this is the spot we call atlas or axis, the first 2 vertebrae of the spine, the top where the brain stem continues down through. So it's like a circuit breaker of the spine up here. You adjust the upper cervicals fine, and you can have amazing healings. One of the first chiropractor adjustments was the who was deaf. Harvey Lillard, who's a janitor at the school, he adjusted his upper cervical spine and even low back. And the hearing was, because when there's so much tension anywhere in the spine, it can really cause things to compress. And then we're again in that narrow focus of fight or flight, whether it's seeing or hearing. When harmony is amazing, we can hear about 10 octaves, where we can only see about 1 octave. Our visual range is small in terms of the rainbow of colors we can see, but there's a whole huge range of like infrared and ultrasound and all these things that we don't necessarily see, but our hearing opens us up to more octaves of information. And that's why I love to use sound frequency in vibration as well, because not only the therapeutic, but how we can really fine tune our nervous system, that radio channel, so we have access to more.
Tell me a little bit more about some of the science behind sound frequencies and doing all of the beautiful things that we've been talking about.
Yeah, well, we've been using sound in medicine for so long. Just think of like ultrasound. We've been using ultrasonics just to visualize the baby in the womb, or ultrasonics to help break up scar tissue and to move things in the body. So that's not new. Like MRI technology is using magnetic resonance imaging so that we can see greater perspective of the body and where it may be out of alignment or chaotic and out of coherence. The recent research that I think is incredible is at Stanford Medicine. I have one article here that I'd love to show. There's PhDs at Stanford called bioacoustic sound medicine, and they'll take damaged heart tissue and use certain sound and frequency, and they can help to reorganize this heart tissue into more coherent tissue. This is what's called cymatics. Cymatics is a study of sound and waves and vibration. It creates a more coherent or cymatic pattern. And this is what they're doing at Stanford Medicine to help harmonize as well as clean and release. Here's a quote from the PhD cardiologist that says, acoustics can create a form that resembles natural cardiac tissue. So they're taking damaged heart tissue from like heart inflammation, myocarditis, pericarditis, things like that, and using sound to create more coherence, which is incredible. Another study is from the frontiers of aging neuroscience, where they use some vibrotactile stimulation. So that'll be like a sound bed where you're laying on a bed and it's sending vibration or gauze. That's what they're so powerful at doing. Not only do they have a frequency, they're sending off a sound wave, a pressure wave that moves through your body.
Mm-hmm.
Light can inform us, but sound, when we have sound together with it, it can transform us. So from the frontiers of aging neuroscience, they're using what they call a miracle frequency. It's like 40 hertz. And they send that 40 hertz in the body, and it helps to clean up any neurodegeneration. This is the title from the frontiers of aging neuroscience. It says it's vibrotactile, so that's vibrations we can feel, vibrotactile stimulation at gamma frequency mitigates pathology related to neurodegeneration and improves motor function. So basically what they're saying is that pathology, for example, like Alzheimer's or different neurodegenerated cognitive disorders, as we get older, certain frequencies and vibrations can help clear that out. And so that's really exciting. There was another article in the Journal of Neurology that says an hour of light and sound a day might keep Alzheimer's at bay. And the doctors say it helps to take down a dam to create a flow of communication between neurons. So think of stress or pathology or disease or damage as like a dam in our neurology, and it blocks this flow of communication. So these different vibrations and frequencies can help remove blockages. And yogis have known this for, in the scriptures, they talk about this nod, yoga, sound and vibration to move through the energy channels all the way down to our organs and help to create a flow of information. So that's not new there. It's just kind of new in our Western science where we have to prove everything by what we only see necessarily.
Christopher, for you, why do you love gongs so much? Why was that your calling and instrument to use?
The first time I experienced a gong was 20 years ago during a full moon yoga session. And at the end of the asanas or the yoga session, everybody goes into Shavasana, which is like the final asana, the final posture, corpse pose, where you're just laying on your back doing, people think it's doing nothing, but you're actually integrating the whole experience. And that's one of the most important asanas in yoga. And I've been to so many yoga classes and the westernized kind of yoga classes where people just jump out, they get on their phone, they go to Starbucks right after. No judgment. I laugh at that. But because in the West, we like to condense things and say, okay, how does this affect us physically? It ignored the like 7 other limbs of yoga that have so much depth and wisdom to share to focus on one limb, asana. And again, it's not wrong. It's a way to get us onto the path of the deeper teachings, of the deeper wisdom that's in us. So laying down in Shavasana at the end of yoga, integrating, I heard my first gong during a full moon. And it's hard to put into words. I felt like I just dissolved. It helped me sound and vibration again, amplify the parasympathetic that rest and digest. So that's why it's so beautiful to help you sleep and help to restore. And the Buddha talked about this, that it helps to accelerate meditation. So if you're in Shavasana at the end and you're listening to these frequencies and feeling the vibrations of these very old 5,000-6,000-year-old therapeutic instruments, go back to the Bronze Age, you're amplifying, it's helping us to accelerate our healing. And right now, I think anything to help us accelerate these massive changes we're going through is beneficial. That's when plant medicines are coming back into the fret. These kind of Eastern wisdom techniques are coming back around because we're really needing to upgrade our nervous system so we can handle these massive amounts of change that are happening right now. Mm-hmm. Year of the fire horse, this 60-year cycle, things are changing so fast. We can just see it with AI and technology, right? But if our technology doesn't match that, we're going to fry out our system. It's like trying to plug in a toaster to 220 or something. And you can't do that. It will fry the electronics. So these techniques and yoga and chiropractic and Chinese medicine and Qigong and all these beautiful holistic practices were coming back so that we can match our inner with how fast things are accelerating outside of us. And things are going to get chaotic. That's okay. It's the caterpillar just about birthing, can be coming into a butterfly. That's a chaotic time, but it's needed. It's beautiful. When we come into the butterfly, we want to be able to fly. We don't want to just be a clump of cells and fall back to the ground. That's why I titled my office Emerge, because it's like, how can we emerge into these emergent properties that we do have in us? And during these times of massive change, just for example, our solar cycle is at this maximum. We're getting all this influx, solar flares, this plasma that's coming in for the sun. And day after day, you'll look, there'll be another flare or another coronal hole that's just streaming in this plasma from the sun. And if you look at these cycles, during solar maximums, there'll be huge revolutionary change that happens. It makes sense. I mean, our central star is enlightening us with its wisdom. But if we don't have the nervous system capable of taking it in, we'll either kind of go crazy or we'll embrace and emerge into these changes. And it's nothing to be fearful wherever we're at as our path. If I can help us to tune in to a better way to amplify this innate ability and to create a stronger nervous system, that's what I love. Gongs are an amazing way to create a state of change in our nervous system and our consciousness. That's what really excites me beyond just, I feel better, I slept better, I have less pain and inflammation. Yeah, those are all great. But for me, it's about, wow, I dissolved into source. I had a conversation with my higher self. Now I can see why the things I've been doing have been off the path, or wow, I just have a deeper sense of knowing or connection between my heart or my emotions or greater sense of purpose with my fellow humans. I think that's the perspective I got during the harmonic convergence. It expanded me out, and over time, I've been understanding and learning and going to school to create this wisdom and bring it more to those who choose to embrace it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode and being part of this community. I want to hear from you. Email me at podcast@abundancewithathena.com or DM me on Instagram at abundancewithathena and share with me your stories. And until next time, keep awakening to the abundance that's always within you.